Brothers who have finished their salah, inshallah, request you to come a bit closer to the front, inshallah. Boys who are leaning on the back, can come forward, inshallah. Inshallah, let's all sit close together, inshallah, so we can all take full benefit. Be careful, be aware of those people who are performing salah. Don't walk in front of them. You can come close to the front, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa al-Aqibatu lil-Muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Awwaleen wa al-Akhirin Nabiyyina Muhammad. خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله My dear respected brothers, elders and my young friends and the sisters who are listening upstairs Firstly, I'd greet you with the greeting of Islam Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh So firstly, I'd like to say Jazakallahu khairan for everyone who has attended And I'd like to request all those who are listening via the receiver, via the e-masjid live, that inshallah, we have plenty of space in the masjid, inshallah. Let's all try and attend live, because when you listen live and you can come and attend live, the benefit that you take is not the same as if you listen from home. So inshallah, let's all try and attend, even the mothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, we have the facilities upstairs. Mothers and sisters can attend as well. And inshallah, we have food which has been provided for everyone, which will be provided for everyone, inshallah, after the program. So let's all come, let's all listen to the program, let's all participate live in the program, and then let's all benefit and inshallah, partake of the food as well, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, this Seerah conference, we have it every single year, our annual Seerah conference, and inshallah, this is our fourth one this year. And everyone make dua, inshallah, that Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to have it every single year, inshallah. It's very, very important. That as Muslims we are supposed to, it is extremely important, extremely essential that we all have the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our iman is not complete without the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, nowadays, because everything has become a tradition or a custom or a culture, so similarly a lot of the things of Islam have become tradition or custom or culture. Salah, and you know certain practices of Islam, ritual practices, but Islam is a very spiritual religion, that in our heart a person has to have utmost love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and utmost love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it has to be more greater and more important and more stronger than anything else. So in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that that person is not a believer. لا يؤمن أحدكم. You are not a believer, a mu'min, until I, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am not more beloved to you than yourselves, your family, your children, and the entirety of mankind. So we have to really create and nurture this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts, because without it, our iman is incomplete. And it's a reality that if you ask people, who do you love the most? Everybody can answer this question themselves. Who do we love the most? Who do we have the most feeling of affection towards? Right? We have our own answers. But every Muslim, every believer, the first human being that we love the most, more than anybody else, more than myself, who I would be willing to give my life for, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, when they would speak to Rasulullah every time, Fidaka abi wa ummi. Ya Rasulullah, fidaka abi wa ummi. Many times, just for simple things. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call them, they would say, labbayka ya Rasulullah, fidaka wa abi wa ummi ya Rasulullah. Always in simple responses, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Look at this, how intense this statement is. May my parents be sacrificed for you. It was something that the Arabs would say anyway. We might think, okay, how does this statement? It was something which was a normal usage of the Arabs to say something like this, where it was used to demonstrate the highest level of reverence and love and respect. That when they would speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the emotion that would go through their heart. I am willing to sacrifice everything for this man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to nurture, create, develop this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. And on a daily basis, we should be thinking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And why do we need to think about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because of the impact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has had on each and every single person's life. The reality is, unfortunately, we don't ponder and reflect. How has this man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who lived 1,500 years ago, how has he had an impact on my life? So when we think about it deeply, that without Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would not have understood this beautiful deen. I would not have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would not have known how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would have been, as soon as I died in this dunya, that would have been, you know, the end of this journey, and then in the akhirat I would have been in so much trouble. But because of this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have a chance of being saved in the akhirah. I have a chance of entering Jannah. I have a chance of living happily ever after in Jannatul Firdaus because of this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is rahmatan lil alamin. Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. We have not sent you except as a rahmah, as a mercy for the entirety of mankind. So alhamdulillah, this Seerah conference that we have today, it's the whole purpose and the maqsad for myself and for all of us is, let's sit down with the correct intention first of all. Let's not just be bystanders or passerbys. Okay, chalo jaate hain, baithte hain, dekhte hain kya baat ho. Matlab koi agar acha lage to, you know, we shouldn't have this kind of nonchalant mentality. That I'm just pass by and sit down and see how it is. No, if we all have a correct intention, Ya Allah, I have come here today because this is a seerah conference about your Habib, your beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I am here to benefit. I am here to nurture and to develop and to create and to rejuvenate this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my heart. Oh Allah, please let it be the case that when I leave from this conference today, my love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has increased. And this then changes my life and increases me and enhances me as a Muslim. So inshallah, we all make this intention, inshallah. Inshallah, I make this intention and let's all make this intention. So without any further ado, I would like to call my respected relative and friend, mashallah, Marna Adnan Sahib, who has come from Oldham. He will inshallah recite some qiraat and later, mashallah, he will recite a nasheed as well. So I'll call him forward to recite some and do some tilawat of the Holy Quran.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر. We recite from a portion in the Quran from Surah Al-Fath, a portion wherein the name of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam name is mentioned only a few times in the Quran, and this is one of them. And inshallah, through this recitation, we will begin to nurture and to reignite this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إِنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ لَا تَخَافُونَ فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا فَجَعَلَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا فَجَعَلَ مِنْ دُونِ ذَلِكَ فَجَعَلَ مِنْ دُونِ ذَلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا محمد رسول الله محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما صدق الله العظيم.
Jazakallahu khairan to that beautiful tilawat and recitation by Mawlana Adnan Sahib. Beautiful ayat at the end of Surah Al-Fath where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by name in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very rarely mentions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by name in the Holy Quran. And one of the reasons for this, many times Allah ta'ala will refer to him with different references. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, and many other different forms of address. And the ulama have mentioned this is because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah ta'ala uses many different names and addresses and titles for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the description of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, that tarahum rukka'an sujjadain yabtaghuna fadlan min Allahi wa ridwana. If you to see these people, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, how much time they would spend in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ruku' and in sujood, seeking the grace and the virtue, seeking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seemahum fi wujuhihim min athari sujood, the marks on their faces from the effects of sajda and effects of prostration. So imagine how much time the Sahaba would spend in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why they were Allah ta'ala's chosen people. So, you know, without any further ado, inshallah, I'd like to call our respected Mona Waqar Sahib. Mona Waqar Sahib has travelled from Darwin, so he's had to do a bit of a drive and he's had to come down here. So we really appreciate him coming here, and we do dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his coming, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to benefit from his talk, inshallah. So without any further ado, Mona Waqar Sahib can come forward to deliver a talk, inshallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد نعلم أنك يضيق صدرك بما يقولون فسبح بحمد ربك وكن من الساجدين واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولقد أوذيت في الله ولم يؤذ أحد أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم at the age of 40 was blessed with prophethood from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would frequently go to the cave of Hira and he would spend days and nights alone in the cave, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was on one such occasion that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave of Hira that Jibra'il alayhi salatu wa salam came with the first verses of the Quran, the first five verses of Surah Alaq. We are all well aware of this. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. These five verses were revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the first wahy, the first revelation which had been given to our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, for 2 years, approximately 2 years, no revelation came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his heart would yearn in expectation, in wait for wahy, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after 2 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I was walking and I heard a sound. And I looked up and I saw Jibra'il alayhi salatu wa salam. And I was overcome with fear when I saw the grandeur of Jibra'il alayhi salatu wa salam. And I came home and I said to Khadija radiallahu anha, zammiluni, zammiluni. And it was after this that the next revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. The first verses of Surah Muddathir. Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, qum fa'anzir wa rabbaka fakabbir وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ وَالرُّجِزَ فَهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ. And it was after this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quietly started calling people towards Islam. قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. It has now become the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that now propagate Islam. Relay to the people that you have become a messenger and propagate Islam. And secretly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began propagating Islam and many sahaba entered the fold of Islam. Approximately a year later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to now propagate Islam openly. Fasda' bima tu'mar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that openly propagate that which you have been commanded. The Islam, the Sharia, the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, openly propagate it. And the wording which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used, fasda, this verb in the Arabic language is used when something shatters, something breaks, and it scatters all over the place. So just like a person has a glass, and it shatters into pieces, and those pieces scatter everywhere, and a person cannot join them together. No matter how hard he tries, he cannot join that glass together in a way that it was previously. You will still be able to see the cracks in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that openly propagate that which you have been commanded. And once the word goes out, it will never come back. Once the message of Islam goes out, it will never come back. Islam will spread. The message of Islam will spread. فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. This was one verse. وَقُلْ إِنِّي أَنَا النَّذِيرُ الْمُبِينُ. Another verse which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, that say to the people that I am a clear warner. I am a clear warner for you. I am warning you of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are not to enter the fold of Islam. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Your close relatives, warn them about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these various verses were revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been commanded to openly propagate Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he decided that I am going to climb Mount Safa, the Mount of Safa. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam head out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed the Mount of Safa. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shouted, Ya Sabaha, Ya Sabaha. This would only be said when something was very urgent, when something very dangerous or threatening was to happen to Makkah Mukarrama, and the people had to gather very quickly, very urgently. This call would be made out, Ya Sabaha. So because of Quraysh, the people of Makkah Mukarrama, they knew that this call is only made out when there is urgency, when there is something very important. They all came to the Mount of Safa to see what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to say. They all came, they all gathered. Some of them came themselves, and those that were extremely busy in whatever task they were doing and were not able to come, they sent someone else as their representative. But everyone either attended or sent someone else on behalf of them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the top of Mount Safa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the people individually. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the people, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if I was to tell you that behind this mountain there is an army that has come to attack you, would you believe me or not? Now the people of Makkah Mukarrama, they had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 40 years. They had seen the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had seen the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they all knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trustworthy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is truthful, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never lie. This is something which we see from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the time when the Quraysh, they decided to rebuild the Kaaba, and they knocked the Kaaba down, And they were rebuilding the Kaaba. A time came that now they had to place the Hajar al-Aswad back into its place. And they started arguing, quarreling, that each clan, each tribe was saying that we want this honor of putting the Hajar al-Aswad in its rightful place. We want this honor. And it came to such a stage that they were ready to get the weapons out and they were ready to fight. And this decision was made that in the morning, the next person that comes into Masjid al-Haram, we will let him decide. So the next morning they were all waiting that who is going to be the first person to enter, and it was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is before prophethood. Prior to prophethood, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not been made a Nabi as of yet. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, the people of Makkah, those that were gathered in Masjid al-Haram, they all became happy. هذا الصادق الأمين, that this is a truthful one, this is a trustworthy one. And we are happy with his decision. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with immense intelligence. The decision that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made was that a large cloth be brought, the Hajar al-Aswad be placed inside that cloth, and one representative from each tribe holds onto the cloth. So like this, every single tribe will have had the honor of placing Hajar al-Aswad into its place. So they all did this, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, with his blessed hands, once the cloth had reached the Kaaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his blessed hands picked up the Hajar al-Aswad and placed it in its place. But as I was saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam posed this question to the people of Makkah, they all said that yes, we would believe you. We would believe you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Inni nadhirul lakum bayna yaday adhabin shadid," that I am warning you of a severe punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam openly called the people of Makkah towards Islam, towards Iman, towards what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed upon him. The people of Makkah remained silent. Only one person spoke, and that was Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Lahab was a paternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Lahab, what did he say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Tabban laka ya Muhammad, ama jama'tana illa lihada? تَبَّنْ لَكَ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ أَمَا جَمَعْتَنَا إِلَّا لِهَذَا. That may you be destroyed, O Muhammad. Is this why you have called us? We thought that you had something important to say. What could be more important than the message of Islam? They were idol worshippers. They were idol worshippers. They were on the path towards Jahannam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to save them. There was nothing more important to them, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was nothing more important for them. But the reply of Abu Lahab, who, as I said, was a paternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was تَبَّنْ لَكَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَمَا دَعَوْتَنَا إِلَّا لِهَذَا. That is this why you have called us? This is nothing important. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it had been the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, that warn your close relatives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to Ali radiallahu anhu, that go get some food. So he got some grain, he got some milk, and he got some meat. And how much was it? It was enough to feed one or two people. That's how much it was. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then invited his close family members for a meal. And many of them gathered. Some didn't, but many of them gathered. And there was a gathering of approximately 40 people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to feed them from that food. Now that food was enough for one or two people. But it was a mu'jizah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that food fed all 40 of them, and there was still some left over. This was a mu'jizah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his mind he had that I will get everyone together, I will feed them, and thereafter I will get an opportunity to invite them towards Islam privately. They are my close family members. On the Mount of Safa, I invited the people of Makkah openly. Here I will be able to discuss with them privately, my close family members. But Abu Lahab knew. So after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had finished feeding them, Abu Lahab stood up and he said to the people gathered that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, he has done some magic with this food, so you should all leave. So all those family members that had gathered, they quickly left the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that opportunity which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to call them towards Islam was taken away from him. Why? Because of Abu Lahab. Because of Abu Lahab. The next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then did the same thing. And the second day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got the opportunity to invite them towards Islam. So nonetheless, the first time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam openly called towards Islam, the response that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received was, تَبَّنْ لَكَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَمَا دَعَوْتَنَا إِلَّا لِهَذَا. That may you be destroyed, is this why you have gathered us? So the first response that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got when he invited towards Islam was a negative response. Right from the outset, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first time he invited towards Islam, what was he reciprocated with? What was he given back? It was enmity, it was hate. It was enmity, it was hate. And this is the first time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inviting towards Islam. So from this we learn that right from the outset, right from the beginning, Islam, and in particular Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had faced opposition. It was not a smooth ride. Right from the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had faced opposition. And thereafter, this opposition, this enmity, just increased and increased and increased. Various forms of abuse Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to endure. Verbal abuse, physical abuse. And one is that the general public, they become your enemies. The general public, they say things about you. And one is your close relatives. One is your close relatives. Now in our times, unfortunately, we don't have that family tie that we should. The family ties aren't there. They should be there, which is a very important teaching of our Sharia. But in that time, amongst the Arabs, family ties were very important. And families were very close-knit. Very close. So in those times, for someone from your family to oppose you, this was very hurtful. This was very hurtful. If our brother opposes us, if our uncle opposes us, our father opposes us, our cousin, he says something about us, we are hurt. But in that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abu Lahab turned against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and was hurting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much must this have hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What must Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have gone through? The first opposition to Islam was opposition from his own family. تَبَّنْ لَكَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَمَا دَعَوْتَنَا إِلَّا لِهَذَا. This was the first opposition to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Abu Lahab didn't stop. The second time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited towards Islam openly, it was Abu Lahab. And then Abu Lahab, what extents did he go to hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to oppose Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It is unimaginable. It is unimaginable. Prior to becoming a prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had married his daughters, Umm Kulthum and Ruqayya radiyallahu anhuma, to the two sons of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab was a paternal uncle. So the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were married to the sons of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab commanded his sons to divorce the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they divorced him. Why? Just to hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to bring hurt to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many other things we find that Abu Lahab used to do. One Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would go to the marketplaces. And in the marketplaces he would call towards Islam. Because everyone is there. People are always frequenting the marketplaces. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go and call towards Islam. So this Sahabi says that I saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was roaming around in the marketplace, calling towards Islam. And behind him there was someone telling people to stay away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ignore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking around inviting towards Islam, and someone is walking behind him telling people to ignore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was this? Abu Lahab, the paternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one is that someone that you are not related to, someone that you are not friends with, someone that you don't know, they are hurting you, they are abusing you, and they are opposing you. And one is your close relatives, a close friend, someone that you are close to, someone that you are meant to be close to, opposing you and hurting you. The inconvenience, the hurt, the pain that a person feels in such an instance, it is multiplied. It is immense. So right from the outset, right from the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to endure pain, had to endure hurt, because of opposition, because of enmity. And this carried on. The people of Makkah Mukarramah, they would say different things about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Verbal abuse, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah, is a sorcerer. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this Quran which he says has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asatirul awwaleen, ma hadha illa asatirul awwaleen, that this is just the tales of the people of the past. He has gone to such a person, he has gone to this person, he has gone to that person, he has learned these tales, these stories of the past, and he has just put them together. This is not the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a liar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a liar. They would say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a magician. They would say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making things up and associating them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of Makkah Mukarramah, before the people came for Hajj, they knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to take this opportunity to call people towards Islam. The people that are coming from outside, he will take this opportunity to call people towards Islam. They did not want this. So what did they do? They sat down for mashwara, consultation. And they said that if one of us is saying that he is a sorcerer, another is saying he is a magician, another is saying that he is a liar, We are saying different things. We are refuting each other. No one is going to believe us. So let us get together and make up one thing. That we will label Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this. Every single one of us. It will make it more believable for the people that are coming from outside. And in the end they decided that we will say that he is a magician. And he says such words because of which he distances a father from son, a brother from another brother, a husband and wife. He separates them. And they're referring to the Quran. And prior to the people coming for Hajj, they would send people out to the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah to sit on the paths leading into Makkah Mukarramah and warn the people that there is a person called Muhammad and he is a magician. And if you listen to what he says, then he will cause division amongst you. Can a person imagine this? That we have been raised, we have lived 40 years in a locality, in a place, the people of Ashton, you have lived 40 years in this place. And all of a sudden when you want to help someone, you want to assist someone, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted goodness for them in the hereafter. But then the whole locality turns against you. And all the efforts are directed towards you, towards hurting you. How much grief, how much pain must Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have had to endure? How much pain? And this was verbal abuse that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to endure. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these disbelievers, the people of Makkah, Mukarramah, how do they look at you? They look at you with very stern faces, dirty looks. That is how they look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then what do they say? وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. That he has lost his mind. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has lost his mind. Just imagine the state of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That whenever the leaders of Makkah Mukarramah, the leaders of Quraysh, the people of Quraysh would see him, would see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would have very dirty, harsh, stern looks on their faces. They would squint their eyes in disgust at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter they would say things that would hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pain Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the environment that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living in. And thereafter the physical abuse that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to endure. The physical abuse. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Masjid al-Haram and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started making tawaf of the Kaaba, and the leaders of Quraysh were seated on the side. They were sat on the side and they started verbally abusing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent. The next time he passed them again, verbally abused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed, they verbally abused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something back. The next day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came into Masjid al-Haram, and those leaders of Quraysh saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, together they all got up and they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, surrounded him and gripped Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the neck. Gripped Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were ready to physically hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if it was not for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stepped in and he said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Are you going to kill a person because he says that Allah is my Lord? So the attention turned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And they started hitting Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, who returned home that night with his head split open, cracked open. That was the state of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Another time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was praying salah in Masjid Haram. He was engaged in salah. And Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, a staunch enemy of Islam, he got the abdominal contents of a she-camel, the filth from inside a she-camel, and he came and placed it on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in sajda. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not get up. It was only when Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha came running and saw the state of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she removed that, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made baddua to that group of people that had done this to him. And they were all killed at the hands of the Muslims. They all suffered painful deaths. But nonetheless, again, abusing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The wife of Abu Lahab, Umm Jamil, she would put thorns out in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, hurting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then after 10 years, in the 10th year of prophethood, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he decided to go to Ta'if. Then let me go to Ta'if, let me invite them towards Islam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Ta'if, we all know what happened. We all know what happened, that the leaders of the people of Ta'if, they ordered the youngsters to go after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaving Taif, there was two rows of people on both sides, and they were hurling abuse at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pelting stones at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, physical abuse that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to endure. So right from the outset, right from the beginning of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to endure pain and suffering. And then when the time of migration came, the time of hijrat came, just before, the night before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to leave, or maybe a few nights before, the people of Makkah Mukarramah, they got together and they thought that, what shall we do about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What shall we do about Muhammad? And various proposals were given. And in the end, they decided to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They plotted to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on the night of Hijrah, one person from each tribe had gathered outside the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, waiting for him to leave so that they could assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, just imagine. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been given prophethood. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been made a Nabi, a Rasul. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been commanded to propagate Islam. He is wanting goodness for the people, and this is how they are treating him. That they don't look at him properly. They hurl verbal abuse at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They physically abuse Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They plot against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent that they plotted to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he migrated to Medina Munawwara, they didn't leave him. We all know the various battles that took place. So time is short, but the message which I wanted to give was that right from the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to endure pain, suffering, opposition. Right until the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away in the beginning of Rabiul Awwal. There's difference of opinion with regards to the exact date, but it was the beginning of Rabiul Awwal. The month before Rabiul Awwal is Safar. On the 26th of Safar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent out an army to fight the Romans. And this army, they had not left, as yet they had not left Medina Munawwara. They were still in Juruf, which is at a bit of a distance from Medina Munawwara, Maqam-e-Juruf. They were there. So this is a week or 2 weeks before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away on a Monday. So this is either the Monday before or 2 weeks before, the Monday, the 26th of Safar, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent out this army. So 1 week or 2 weeks before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is still sending out an army because of opposition to Islam. Because of opposition towards Islam. So right from the beginning until the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to endure opposition. Had to endure opposition. And this is a message that I want to give. That when we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what we learn. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test us. Alif lam mim ahasiba an-nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. Do the people think that they will be left to say amanna, that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are believers, and they will not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Most definitely, indeed, we had tested the people before them, and we had seen who was truthful and who was a liar. Who was truthful in his claim of being a mu'min and who was a liar? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends such conditions upon the Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see that, are we going to stay steadfast on our iman? Will we have unflinching iman? We see the people of Palestine, their unflinching iman, their unflinching faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They lose their homes, they lose their limbs, they lose their relatives, their children, their mothers, their fathers, but still they are saying alhamdulillah. We are all aware of this, the unflinching iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them and they are successful. So this was the first message I wanted to give. The first message. That just because conditions come upon the Muslims, this doesn't mean that Islam is not the correct religion. This doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left us. This doesn't mean that we are in the wrong. A person that accepts Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test him. The second lesson, when we look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all this opposition, all this hurt, all this enmity, but what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam use to combat this? It was the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we see. We see in the Battle of Badr, on one side you have 313 sahaba, on the other side you have over 1,000 mushrikeen. The sahaba, very limited resources. The mushrikeen, they have all the resources that they need. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he use against them? Connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole night Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent in dua. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making such dua for so long. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was weeping in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much and for so long that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu felt pity for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had no other choice but to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stop. فَقَدْ أَلْحَلْتَ أَلْحَحْتَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ. You have done enough, you have asked enough from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stop now. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that during the battle I would come to the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see if he is okay, to check up on him. Every time I would come, I would see that he is engaged in dua. He is asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam use? It was connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The battle of Ahzab. The battle of Ahzab. The Muslims didn't have anything. They didn't even have enough that they felt that we are able to fight the enemy. So they dug the trench. But still, in those circumstances, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory. And on the other hand, when we see that there was slack in this connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there was not the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help didn't come. We see in the battle of Uhud, the Muslims, they had won. They had won the battle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ, that you did not obey the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you left the post upon which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told you to remain because of not obeying the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed your win into a defeat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it into defeat. We see in the battle of Hunayn. In the battle of Hunayn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ, that your eyes were not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your eyes were on your numbers. That we have this many people, we are definitely going to win. So what happened? Initially the Muslims were going towards defeat. But then thereafter, when they all came together to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gathered with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory. So we see from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, opposition. But what did Allah subhanahu, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did the Sahaba use to oppose, to combat that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when there is connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if a person doesn't have the resources, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was leaving his home to migrate to Medina Munawwara, they were all gathered outside. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alone. And there is a whole group of enemies outside ready to assassinate him. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And reciting the verses of Surah Yaseen, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. In the cave of Thawr, the mushrikeen came right to the mouth of the cave. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and said that if any of them look down, they will see us. What was the reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? مَا ظَنُّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرِ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا, that what do you think, O Abu Bakr, about two people? The third of them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is with us. We have reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them? With the spider and the bird that came and made a nest at the entrance of the cave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was alone on a journey, the Sahaba were far away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had hung his sword upon the tree. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting. An enemy came, took the sword, woke Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up and said that he is going to protect you. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Allah. And he began to tremble and he dropped the sword. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked the sword up, said, who is going to protect you? Who is going to save you? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let him go. So even when a person does not have the resources, if he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist him. What do we need? We need to understand, first of all, when we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was opposition, there was enmity. We are going to face opposition, we are going to face enmity. And what was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what response do we need to have connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, we adopt the worldly means, the permissible worldly means. This is what our Sharia teaches us. This is the essence of tawakkul, that you adopt the worldly means which are permissible, but you have full reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is our issue? What is our problem? That we have our full reliance on the worldly means, the asbab, that we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. But when it comes to dua, when it comes to salah, when it comes to dhikr, when it comes to coming to the masjid, we don't want to do that. And we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, to assist us. As Muslims, it is our belief, it is our aqidah that whatever happens, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنْهِ, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until we do not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may have all the resources of this world, but nothing will change. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us, we may not have the resources, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist us. So how do we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by coming to the masjid. We connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by connecting to the Ahlullah, the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullah, he was a king of Balkh at one time. King of Balkh. He was living in palaces, a luxurious life. One night he heard someone on his roof. So he went up and he saw someone on his roof and he said, "What are you doing here?" He said that, "I'm looking for my camel." So Ibrahim ibn Adham, the king of Balkh, he rebuked him and he said that, "You are looking for your camel on the roof of a house, on the roof of a palace? Is this where you are going to find the camel?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent him to guide Ibrahim ibn Adham. So he replied to Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullah, that you are looking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these palaces. We are not going to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya. We are going to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the house of Allah. We are going to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Ahlullah. One very big saint, he used to say that, sit in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your heart. Ishabillah. Bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your heart. And if you're not able to, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not yet come into your heart, you do not have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ishab man yashabullah. What do you need to do? Sit in the company of those people who have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand these very true important, these two very important lessons from the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah bihamdihi.
Jazakallahu khairan. Mashallah, very beneficial speech. Very, very important points which have been raised about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life in Makkatul Mukarramah and the hardships and the difficulties and the struggles. And it's very relevant, and a large portion of our respected Mawlana's bayan was about Rasulullah's, what they call Makki Zindagi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life in Makkah Mukarramah. It's very relevant to us. You know, this Palestine situation, Mawlana also briefly raised it, it's in the mind of every single Muslim, and it has to be. So, brothers and sisters, and they're losing their lives. Brothers and sisters losing their lives. Imagine your own family losing their lives. This is the same, no difference. So every single Muslim wants a hal, wants a solution. Okay, somehow, this is why many Muslims campaigning, ceasefire, just stop the killing of our brothers and sisters. This is all we want. If somebody could give us this solution on our plate, on a platter, we'd be over the moon. But what Mawlana mentioned here, very, very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, is coming into the tent, Rasulullah is in dua. He's going out, coming back, a while later, Rasulullah is still doing dua. He's going out, coming back, a while later, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still engaged in dua. That until I don't see the nusra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not going to stop doing my effort. And my effort isn't to sit there backbiting about the politicians. I'm not saying it's all backbiting, some is valid criticisms. But that's not my effort, you know. I just sit there saying, oh, Angela Rayner is like this, Jeremy Corbyn is like this. Well, not Jeremy Corbyn, I don't know, Keir Starmer is like this. And we just spend our time talking. Why don't we actually ask the one who can change everything? Muqallib al-qulub. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala's name, Muqallib al-Qulub. Allah is the one who changes the hearts. Qulubul ibadi bayna isba'ayni min asabi'ir rahman. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hearts of the servants are between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yuqallibuha kayfa yasha. Allah Ta'ala changes them the way He wants. He is the master. He is the king. Al-mulku kulluhu lillah. Qulillahumma malik al-mulk. The whole dominion, the whole kingdom, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's make use of this. Dua, ad-du'a'u silahul mu'min. Dua is the weapon of the believer. But the problem is, something Mawlana also addressed. MashaAllah, Mawlana's talk was very beautiful. Many, many important points. Our yaqeen and conviction has to be there in our dua. Person is making dua and in their heart they're thinking, I don't know if this dua is even being heard or not. Not just doing it like some kind of routine. No. A dua we do, فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ وَأَنْتَ مُوقِنٌ بِالْإِجَابَةِ أو كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, when you make dua to Allah Ta'ala, have full conviction that Allah is definitely going to accept it. So this is going to come from our iman and our yaqeen. That Allah Ta'ala 100% is with me. Allah Ta'ala 100% will help me. وَلَا يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. That whoever helps Allah Ta'ala, meaning whoever fulfills the commands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, whoever follows the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whoever stays away from the disobedience of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's help will surely come to those people. So we ask Allah with conviction, with yaqeen, with certitude, and Allah Ta'ala's help will come in the situation of Palestine, the situation of the Muslims, in our own situations, in our own daily life. That we have to build this connection with Allah, Murna again mentioned, the suhbat of the pious people. Subhanallah, the companionship of the pious people. When one of the great Salafus Salihun was asked, how long do I need to stay with the pious people? How long do I need to stay with them? So the response was given, صاحبوهم حتى تكونوا مثلهم وخالطوهم حتى تكونوا مثلهم. Stay with them until you become like them. It's not enough that I go, every couple of weeks I go here, or every so often I go see this sheikh in another country or something or the other. Stay with them so you can become like them as long as it takes. As long as it takes. As you know, as much time that you have to devote, give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become like them. We need these angelic, pious people. They are the reason, they are the cause through which Allah Ta'ala's mercy comes. And they are the reason through which Allah Ta'ala's help and nusrat comes. So Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice upon Marana's bayan. It was filled with fawaid, filled with a lot of beneficial points. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to retain these points and practice upon them. Inshallah, without any further ado, I see, inshallah, our respected friend, Marana Abdul Raqib Sahib is here. So before I call him, I'd like to call back Marna Adnan Sab, who will come forward and to deliver a short na'at, a short poem in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to start off with the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to the chorus, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, I would like everyone to join in, inshaAllah.
Tere siwa ma'bude haqiqi koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Tere siwa maujood haqiqi koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Tere siwa maqsood haqiqi koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Tere siwa mashhood haqiqi koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Tere siwa masjood haqiqi koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Ab to rahe bas taad mein aakhir, wirde zubaan mere ilah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Yaad mein teri sabko bula do, koi na mujhko yaad rahe. tujh par sab ghar bar luta do khana ye dil abad rahe sab khushiyon ko apni aag laga do gham se tere dil shad rahe sab ko nazar se apni gira do tujhse faqat faryad rahe ab to rahe bas taad mein aakhir wird subah mere ila la ilaha illa allah la ilaha illa allah la ilaha illa allah la ilaha illa allah sabse pehle mashiyat ke anwar se نقش روئے محمد بنایا گیا سب سے پہلے مشیت کے انوار سے نقش روئے محمد بنایا گیا پھر اسی نقش سے روشنی مانگ کر بزم کون و مکہ کو سجایا گیا وہ محمد بی احمد بی محمود بی حسن مطلق کا شاہد ومشهود بي علم حكمة من وغير محدود بي ظاهرا أمي يومي أتايا گيا سب سے پہلے مشیت کے انوار سے نقش روئے محمد بنایا گیا پھر اسی نقش سے روشنی مانگ کر بزم کون و مکہ کو سجایا گیا اس کی شفقت بے حد و بے انتہا اس کی رحمت تخیل سے بھی ماورا جو بھی عالم جہاں میں بنایا گیا اس کی رحمت سے اس کو سجایا گیا حشر کا غم مجھے کس لیے ہو قاسم حشر کا غم مجھے کس لیے ہو قاسم میرا آقا ہے وہ میرا مولا ہے وہ جن کے دامن میں جنت بسائی گئی جن کے ہاتھوں سے کوثر لٹایا گیا سب سے پہلے مشیت کے انوار سے نقش روئے محمد بنایا گیا پھر اسی نقش سے روشنی مانگ کر بزم کون و مکہ کو وسجايا قيا.
جزاك الله خير.
MashaAllah, Jazakallah khairan. Very beautiful nasheed and na'at. Hamd, praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a na'at in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for himself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, respected Mufti Sahib is here, who is going to be our main speaker, a keynote speaker. But before I call Mufti Sahib up, I would like to call my dear friend Mawlana Abdul Raqib Sahib. Is he here somewhere? Mawlana Abdul Raqib Sahib to come forward and recite a few couplets in Arabic from the Qasida Burda of Imam al-Busiri rahmatullahi alayh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I would first like to say Jazakallah khair, to thank our good friend, your Imam Sahib, Imam Mufti Muzakkir, Hafizahullah, for inviting me here today, Masjid Hamza. Alhamdulillah, beautiful masjid, nice masjid. Probably 10 years ago, we had Tarawih here. Few boys from Hyde, they came. Hambiyun mein se hai, we were one of them. So we were well looked after, and I believe we will be looked after today as well, inshallah. Mufti Muzakkir Sahib told me to recite a little bit of Qasida Burda, something on Qasida. And Mufti Sahib will, inshallah, he'll explain to you the story behind it, the detail behind it. First time we ever heard of this Qasida was from our respected Ustad, Shaykhun Al-Fadil, Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib Hafizahullah. And Hazrat showed interest in this poem, and he said that the amazing thing is the ashar, the abhyad, the lines, they start with Muhammadun continuously, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's very beautiful. Inshallah, I'll read with you. Our chief guest, Hazrat Mufti Saiful Islam Sahib, is here as well, so I don't want to take too much of your time, so I'll read a little bit. But main thing is, please join in with me in the chorus. Bismillahir Rahman. I'll read from here. Those who know Arabic, they can enjoy it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Muhammadun ashraful a'rabi wal 'ajami. Muhammadun khayru man yamshi 'ala qadamin. Muhammadun basitul ma'rufi jami'uhu. Muhammadun sahibul ihsani wal karami. Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim. Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim. Muhammadun تاج رسل الله قاطبة. محمد صادق الأقوال والكلم. محمد ثابت الميثاق حافظه. محمد طيب الأخلاق والشيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. محمد رويت بالنور قيناته محمد لم يزل نورا من القدم محمد حاكم بالعدل ذو شرف محمد معدن الإنعام والحكم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد خير خلق الله من مضار محمد خير خلق الله من مضار محمد خير رسل الله كلهم محمد دينه حق ندين به محمد مجملا حقا على عالم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلني وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد ذكره روح لأنفسنا محمد شكره فرض على الأمم محمد زينة الدنيا وبهجتها محمد كاشف الغمات والظلام مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد طابت مناقبه محمد صاغه الرحمن بالنعم محمد صفوة الباري وخيرته محمد ساتر تهامي مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كل حين محمد يوم بعث الناس شافعونا محمد يوم بعث الناس شافعونا محمد نوره الهادي من الظلام محمد قائم لله ذو همام محمد خاتم للرسل الرسل كله من مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كله من مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. جزاكم الله خير. تيجي مسلم.
جزاك الله خيرا for that very beautiful rendition, very beautiful recital of the Qasida Burda. The Qasida Burda has about 7 or 8 chapters, so this was just the first chapter, and I know it was in Arabic. And I understand that because it was in Arabic, many of us couldn't really appreciate it. But it's so beautiful. Just the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the second chapter is about the desires of the nafs and the effects of the nafs and shaitan. And how beautifully Imam Busiri rahmatullahi alayhi mentions the danger of the nafs and shaitan and how we should fight against that and how we should overcome that. And each chapter, then there's a chapter on the virtues of the Quran. It's very, very beautiful. And Imam Busiri rahmatullahi alayhi, we don't have time for it, our respected guest speaker Mufti Sab is here, but Imam Busiri rahmatullahi alayhi, he wrote this poem when there was a time where he lost his eyesight, and he wrote this poem with the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His heart was brimming with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. In there there's a couplet as well where he mentions that my whole life I've been singing poetry. He was a great poet. He said, my whole life I've been singing poetry, but this poem is specific for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to fulfill the haqq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, he went to sleep that night, and that night he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted him his blessed mantle, his blessed chadar mubarak. And he granted it to him, and he woke up in the morning, and Imam Busir rahmatullahi alayhi was cured, and he had regained his eyesight. So, one of the viziers, one of the ministers of the court of the Khalifa of that time also went through some illness, and in a dream he was shown that you need to go and get the burda from Busiri, Imam Busiri. You need to go and get this poem from Imam Busiri, rahmatullahi alayhi, this shifa. So many of the ulama of the past have wrote commentaries on this poem. They've experienced so much blessings. Many of our great mashaikh and scholars and saints from India especially, they would, they would recite it on a daily basis, and they gave ijaza and permission of this to thousands and thousands of students, the great, great scholars of India, because they saw so much benefit from it. And it really increases the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one's heart. So mashallah, it's very good to listen to and to learn the translation of and benefit from. Whatever we can do to rejuvenate and to improve the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anything, we should do it. Anything. Poems and na'at, we have the Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we should listen to, and it's extremely essential that we should recite on a daily basis. But these poems and these na'at and these qasa'id, the poetry, they're very, very effective in developing this love. Because when the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there, only then can we move on to practicing upon sunnah. You tell people, follow the sunnah, follow the sunnah, follow the sunnah. But if the person doesn't have the true level of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heart, then they won't do it. They won't take it seriously. So the love is the bunyad, the love is the foundation. And then on top of that, inshallah, a person will strive to emulate each and every single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, how they showed us such, small, small habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wouldn't miss out. Just because that love in their hearts was greater than the love for anything else. Rasulullah said something sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't want to hear what you have to say. Rasulullah has said it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, many of our pious predecessors, when they would go to Medina Munawwara, subhanallah, they wouldn't even walk with sandals on the ground, because we don't know where the Mubarak blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have touched. So they walk without sandals in the burning 40-50, even over that degree heat of Madinatul Munawwara, they would walk without sandals. They wouldn't want their feet, sandals, to touch. They would feel it to be disrespectful. This is not from the hadith, but this is the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then these people would practice upon every single hadith and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala grant us all the reality of this. Allah ta'ala grant us all the true ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which becomes a barrier against all forms of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all forms of abandoning the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without any further ado, inshallah, I would like to call forward our respected and honorable Shaykh and guest, Hazrat Mufti Saif al-Islam Sahib, to come forward and deliver a talk, inshallah.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وقال تبارك وتعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء مع من أحب يوم القيامة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respect listeners, Alhamdulillah, today the Seerah Conference, Alhamdulillah, you've heard many speakers speaking and the beautiful Qasida Burda that has been recited. And has been said by the Imam Sahib that the love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we can embed that in our minds and hearts, then it's very easy to practice upon the Sunnah. The problem we have is that we haven't understood the greatness of this amazing personality, our role model. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made him our role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا Indeed for you, in the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, a great sample, great example, a great role model for those people who believe in Allah on the last day. So we as Muslims, Alhamdulillah, this is the greatest blessing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تُؤْمِنَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Allah has given this tawfiq, this ability. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Tawfiq, ability comes from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we need to appreciate all the blessings that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you are grateful, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, He will give us more. So we need to appreciate all the blessings, and especially the iman that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us, all the other bounties, the favors. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُ He has given you everything that you asked for. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا If you want to count the blessings of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you'll not be able to count them. So in terms of blessing, we need to express our blessing in three different ways. We need to express our and appreciate the blessings mentally, verbally, practically. So if we do that, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is promising us that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is going to increase our blessings, our bounties, the favors, the ni'mah upon us. What does it mean by mentally? So all the way through 24 hours round the clock, in our mind, mentally we should be always very happy, pleased, content with what Allah has given us. Alhamdulillah that Allah has given me iman, Allah has given me wealth, Allah has given me health, Allah has given me family, Allah has given me shelter, Allah has given me food, Allah has given me drink. So all these things mentally in our minds, we should be always feeling content and happy. We shouldn't be negative. We shouldn't be a person who's always having this kind of complaint and objection that why didn't Allah give me this, why didn't Allah give me that, why this problem with me. No, mentally he should be always appreciating, expressing thanks to Allah and appreciating the blessing Allah has given. That's mentally. Verbally, whenever we are discussing amongst ourselves, brothers and sisters, family members, somebody meets you, how's your life going? How's your health? How's everything? Like we always ask, how's life going with yourself? So basically, at that time you say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we are always, even if you're going through anything negative, hard life, it's a pear shape, it's going, through so many different kind of difficulties and problems in life. So even then, Alhamdulillah, like the hadith mentions, that Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. If a person is going through difficulty, even then the Prophet ﷺ is teaching you and me to say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ever, whichever circumstance, whichever condition, whichever position I am in, I am happy with that situation, with that circumstance, with that condition. So that's verbally expressing our thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a buzurg, pious person, he was traveling, he fell down, he fractured his leg, and he paused for a moment of time, and he looked towards the heavens, and he said, Alhamdulillah. So people around him, they said, why are you saying Alhamdulillah, you just broke your leg? So what did he say? Listen to this, Allahu Akbar. He said, yes, I did break my leg, but I paused for a moment, I reflected, and I thought that my thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before my leg breaking, before the fracture of the leg, and afterwards, my connection with my Allah, has that fluctuated or not? Has that come down or not? I realize, and Alhamdulillah, I come to the conclusion that it's still the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason, I said Alhamdulillah. So whether happiness or whether sadness, whatever situation, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, عَجِبْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِ قَضَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, that I am astonished at this, you know, qada and the fate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding a believer. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind regarding each and every one of us. He says, for a believer, لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, for the believer, in أَصَابَهُ khair. If he goes through any happiness, he's going through prosperity, goodness in his life, to hamida rabbahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fashakara, and he is expressing gratitude. Wa in asabathu darra, and if he is going through any difficulty, any calamity, any disaster, any problem, any adversity, then fahamida rabb, even then he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasabara, then he be patient. So he will get reward. Lil mu'mini, any in everything, for a believer in every matter, he will be rewarded. So a person, he will be rewarded, a believer, hatta al-luqma, ani yarfa'uha fi imra'atihi, to that extent, that luqma, that morsel of food, that he provides for his wife. So he'll get rewarded for everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided the means for us to get reward all the time. So what we need to do is express the gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentally, verbally, and third, practically. So Allah has given us so much, the sign of gratitude will be that practically we are fulfilling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obligation, the commandments, the injunction which He has put upon us. We need to make sure that we fulfill them, our five time prayers, observing the fast, giving zakat, performing the hajj, making sure that we don't violate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. So this is the way of expressing our gratitude practically. So Allah has given us so much, like a father says to the son, he's given him everything, provided him with money, provided him with shelter, provided him with all the things that he needs. Then the father says to the son, beta, can you get me some water? The son says, oh, Abbu, I'm too tired now, I can't do it. How angry the father will become. I've done everything for you, you can't even just get a glass of water for me. What kind of love is that? What kind of son are you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything, then we can't even perform our five time prayers. What kind of Muslims are we? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent blanket forgiveness. Allah says that even, obviously we have the aqidah that a prophet, before prophethood, after prophethood, he doesn't commit no minor sins, no major sins. All are forgiven if they even, hypothetically, if you see that it is even committed. Allah sent the, revealed the verses, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhar, wa yutimma ni'matahu alayka wa yahdiyaka siratan mustaqima. That Allah has forgiven any, if there was any sin, past, present, future, minor, major, everything has been forgiven for you. Blanket, you know, sort of ruling and blanket forgiveness. So even then, the hadith mentions that he used to wake up at night time and he used to be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this extent, وَقَدْ تَوَرَّمَتْ قَدَمَا, his feet used to get swollen. So his honorable consort, his noble spouses, his wives and the companions, they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has forgiven all, everything. What's the need for you to worship so much? And what did he reply? Listen to this. Afala akunu abdan shakura. Shall I not become a grateful servant of yours? Servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So basically,
he is worshipping Allah even more out of appreciation, happiness. So Allah has given us so much, we need to do more ibadat. What we are doing is always looking at those people who are better than us in the dunya. Like the hadith mentions, we look at the people who are higher than us in the deen, in the matters of deen, in the practice, in religion. So we can always try to strive and try to follow their footsteps. And in terms of the dunya, we should be looking at those people who are lower than us. So we appreciate the blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We're completely the opposite. We think to ourselves, no, I'm reading my Jummah, that's sufficient. That person, my next door neighbor, he doesn't even come for Jummah. That's the way we'll think. My daughter, she's got the hijab on, the next door neighbor, her daughter doesn't even put a dupatta on her head. That's the way we look at. We're always looking at those people who are lower than us in the deen, and that makes us happy and content. We appease ourselves that we are following the deen. This is a very sad reality. My brothers and sisters, we are going through a phase, we are going through a time which is very challenging. The trials and tribulations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah, throughout his life, he's mentioned all the different things that's going to be coming before the day of judgment. And we are the living statistics. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Ya'ti 'ala an-nasi zaman as-sabiru fihim 'ala dinihi kal-qabidi 'ala al-jamr. A time will come upon the people, a person who's trying to persevere and be steadfast on the deen is like a person who's holding hot cinder, charcoal, embers on his hand. How hard it will be, he won't be able to keep it for a few seconds. In the same way, this is what a person is going to go through. And we go through these things all the time. So this is a test for us, that how we are going to be successful in this phase, in this time, the era that we are passing by, is not going to be easy. In Surah Mutaffifun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the disbelievers mocking at the believers. And we see that our youngsters, when they go out and you see the, you know, people who are critics, who are anti-Islam, the way they mock. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. When they pass by you, they blink. Look at that Muslim. Look at that, you know, ninja. Look at this fanatic, extremist, fundamentalist. Allah already painted that picture for us that these things are going to happen. So, you know, when somebody says that to me, I always remember these verses and I smile at them. They get even more angry. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمُ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. And when they go back to the family, they become so, oh, I saw this Muslim. These people, they're living in a fairy world, you know, son? They're living in a fantasy world. They're thinking to themselves, they'll get this paradise, and they're worshipping their gods in the way, you know, in the service station, in the airport, and I saw them in that situation. And they're mocking. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمُ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّهَا أُولَىٰ إِلَىٰ ضَالُّونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they see you, they think that you are the misguided people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِزِينَ. We do not send them as warners or people to keep an eye on you. I have my angels, I have myself keeping a watch on them. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِزِينَ. But remember, O my believing servants, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. They were laughing at you, today you will be laughing at them. Like Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said to the people who mocked at him, he said, إِن تَسْخَرُ مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُ مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. So if you are mocking at us, if you're ridiculing at us, you're making sarcastic remarks, just wait for your turn. Understand? So the point here is we will be going through these kind of difficulties, and so many prophecies. When we read the prophecy in the books of Ahadith, and we could picture that this is the time that we are passing by, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith he said, "Walladhi nafsi biyadihi la tadhhabu ad-dunya hatta yamurra ar-rajulu 'ala al-qabr." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taking qasam. He's taking an oath by the one in whose hands my life is, la tadhhabu ad-dunya, the world will not come to an end, hatta yamurra ar-rajulu 'ala al-qabr, until a person is going to be passing by a grave, fayatamarragu alayhi, he will toss over the grave, he'll be restless. And what's the reason? He will say, wa yaqulu ya laytani makana sahibi hadha al-qabr, he will say, I wish I was the occupant of this grave. Not because he wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. The person loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. No, not for that reason. وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينُ إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ. Only reason because of the tremendous amount of trials and tribulation that he's going to be going through. Like the Urdu poet says, اب تو گبرا کے کہتے ہیں مر جائیں گے مر کے بھی چین نہ آیا تو کدھر جائیں گے. This is our situation. We see and we hear all the time, suicide has increased manifold and an alarming rate. It's just increasing. I was in Humberside, near Hull. There's a bridge, Humberside Bridge there, and the scholars, the imams, they were taking me there, and they were saying, this is the place most of the people commit suicide. They come here and they just fall from the bridge and kill themselves. It happens very often. So, and who are these people? They're not poor people. Like, you know, a lot of people might be thinking, if you look at the statistics of those people who commit suicide, it's not from people from the poor background or from Bangladesh, Pakistan, India. You'll see people from the Western countries, European countries, from those countries, their people are very rich because of depression. Because depression, frustration, tension, stress, this is the order of the day. Happiness, joy, prosperity, these are something of the past. This is what's happened now. So there's no happiness. Because why? Because we are not living a life according to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba." That a person, whether male or female, he carries out good deeds, condition is he's a believer, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will give him hayat tayyiba. And what's the definition of hayat tayyiba? That life that he is content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him. So he makes peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, I am happy with whatever situation, whatever condition, circumstance you keep me in. That's called hayat tayyiba. So it's not that a lot of people who say, what's the definition of a good life? Healthy life, wealthy life. No, you see so many healthy and wealthy people committing suicide. So that's not a definition of a person who has got a good life. So healthy and wealthy doesn't make a person be happy. What makes a person happy? When he's content. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَى. That person is successful who has accepted iman, he has surrendered, submitted to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا, and he has been given no sufficient amount of risk. وَقَنَّعَ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَى, and he is content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. مَا قَلَّ وَكَفَى خَيْرٌ مِمَّا كَثُرَ وَأَلْهَى. What is less and it is sufficient, it's better than something which is in abundance but it will make you heedless. So this is very important. From the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see the divine contentment the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. If we study the seerah, Allahu Akbar, he was given, you know, his poverty was not out of desperation. It was out of choice. Remember this. He was given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh my beloved, if you want, I will transform all the mountains of Hijaz, of Tihama, into gold and silver. If you want, oh my beloved, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam politely declined. He said, oh Allah, I want to fast one day so I could be patient. I want to eat one day so I could express my gratitude. He didn't want it. Because he knew the reality of this dunya. لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُودَ مَا سَقَى كَافِرًا شُرْبَةً مِمَّا. If the dunya had the value in the eyes of Allah, that of a wing of a mosquito, then Allah would not let a disbeliever drink one sip of water. He will not even drink a sip of water. Because there's no value. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there's no value of the dunya. He himself says, مَالِي وَلِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبٍ إِسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجَرَ ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا. What is my connection with the dunya? It's like a person who's traveling and then he halts, he pauses, he stops at a certain place and he rests under a tree, then he resumes his journey. That's the dunya. So we need to get the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives, make it natural that from morning till dusk, from birth till death, everything we are complying, we are observing the sunnah in our lives, that's the only way we're going to be successful. Like yesterday in our Jamia Khatamun Nabiyyin, we had this course, and the course is called A Day with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the purpose of studying that course and going through this course is that our life becomes like the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he's our role model. So the kitab starts off, the book starts off, the sunnat's open awakening. So from the time we wake up, how did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wake up? We need to wake up in that way. When he woke up, he, you know, took away the sleep by rubbing his face, his eyes. Then he read the dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. He immediately washed his hands up to the wrist, and then he woke up all the family members as well. Then he performed his wuzu, he performed his miswak, then he read his two rakats of fajr sunnah, then he went into the masjid. So every sunnah has been mentioned. So the purpose of all this is that we also follow this sunnah diligently, strongly, and we consistently, punctually, we follow every sunnah, so we could also be the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. That if you say you love Allah, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah will love you and he will forgive your sins. So that's the purpose behind it. So each and every one of us, we have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. We need to make sure that we follow his footsteps. The biggest problem we have is, we say he is our role model, but we are following somebody else. So what we need to do, from morning till dusk, whatever he did. So at the time of Fajr, who is our role model? We need to ask ourselves. We're falling asleep, we don't wake up in the morning. At that time, the muazzin is calling out, As-salatu khayrun minan nawm. Salah is better than sleep. But we are in bed, and we might not say it with our mouth, but our bodily, you know, behavior is saying that an-nawmu khayru min as-salah. Sleep is better than namaz. Because we're not getting up. We are not getting up. Because that fear is not there. The Sahaba Ikram, you know, they asked the Prophet, there was this one person, he didn't wake up for Fajr Salah, and sun has already risen. It's sunrise, Tulu Shams. In other words, Salah has become Qaza. They were shocked. How could a person miss his Fajr Salah? That time a person who missed it, nowadays, mashallah, you come for Fajr, mashallah, very pious. Junaid Baghdadi ban gaya tu. Rabia Basriya ban gayi, mashallah. This is how they were, you know, it's completely opposite. So, they were shocked, because how could he miss it? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he say? The hadith can be found in Bukhari. ذَكَرْ رَجُلُ بَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُذُنِ. That person, shaitan, has urinated in his ears. How could he miss his Fajr? And nowadays, we miss it every day. Nothing happens. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, يَعْقِدُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَى قَافِيَةِ رَأْسِكُمْ إِذَا هُوَ نَامَ ثَلَاثَ أُقَدْ. When a person goes to sleep, the shaitan puts three knots on our forehead. The spiritual knots that to make you lazy. So if a person, if he wakes up, that the hadith mentions, that the shaitan tells already, he blows on the knots, he says, عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ تَوِيلٌ فَرْقُدْ. Have a long night, go to sleep. فَإِنِ اسْتَيْقَظَ فَذَكَرَ اللَّهِ إِنْ حَلَّتْ عُقْدًا. If he wakes up in the morning, فَذَكَرَ اللَّهِ, he does the dhikr. What's the dhikr? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. That's the dhikr. Not looking at the mobile phone, what's the latest messages that has come through, how many likes I've got, how many followers I've got. This is what we're doing. There's no dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically we slept by saying to Allah, Allah, by your name we die, and if you give us permission, we will wake up. So we woken up. Look at the beauty. Islam is teaching us that round the clock, we should always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. So we're saying all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahyana, you have revived us after death, because we were dead. And now I've woken up. A time will come, wa ilayhi nushur, I will return back to you. Always remembering about our ultimate journey of the akhirat. And that's the purpose of us gathering in this seerah conference, that we understand what our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, that this world is mata'ul ghurur, is the commodity of deception. We're just passing by like an examination hall. And that time in this life is so short. You know, we are actually on a journey. We started our journey from Alam Arwa, the world of souls. From there we come to Alam Dunya. From Alam Dunya we're going to go to Alam Barzakh, the grave life. And from there we're going to go to Alam Akhirat. So at this moment of time, we are scattered in the three Alams. Alam Arwa, many of our siblings, many of our nephews and nieces, our sons and daughters who are going to come in the future, they're waiting in the Alam Arwa, the waiting room, you can call it. Alam Arwa, the world of souls. Arwa, the plural of ruh. Alam, the world. So, everybody's waiting there. When the time comes, they come to the mother's womb for 9 months and then they come into the dunya. This dunya is very short. You know, when Allah on the day of judgment is going to ask, how long did you stay in this world? People will be saying 10 days, 1 day, part of a day. One group of people will say, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يُقْسِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَا لَبِثُوا غَيْرَ سَاعَةً. They will take qasam and say, we only live for 1 hour. So my brothers, this life, 1 hour. Do or die, make or break, we have to do something. Then we're going to barzakh. A person when he's leaving this world, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ رِجِعُونَ. When death approaches a person, he says, رَبِّ رِجِعُونَ. Allah, return me back. And I've seen that myself. Many people, you know, before the COVID, I used to get calls, you know, sometimes 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you know, Mufti Sahab, please come, my father's on his last moments. So I'm putting on my clothing again. My wife will say, where are you going now? He goes, there's somebody in the hospital. So they have 3-4 cars already, you know, waiting in front of our house. So let me just go and do the talqeen and this. And so Haji Sahab is saying, I don't want to go. Mufti Sahab, I don't want to go. I haven't done my Hajj yet. And I haven't done, you know. I said, Haji Sahab, I used to call you. Haji Sahab, you haven't done Hajj? No, I didn't have no time. You know, this is the thing. One person, one of the, you know, person, Haji Sahib, he took out the checkbook, said, write as much as you like. I said, what for? Whatever, for your madrasa, for whatever. My son is coming, he's a solicitor, he's a lawyer, he's going to take everything away. He's too clever. He's not going to give it to any of the other sons and daughters. He's coming now. I go, Allahu Akbar, it's too late. Rabbi rji'un, la'alli a'malu. So I could carry out good deeds. So Allah says, kalla. Kalla in Arabic means never. There's no time now. My brothers and sisters, the purpose of us coming here is to remind myself, yourself, each and every one of us. Fadhakkir fa inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'minin. Because reminder benefits a believer. We listen again and again. Why we have every week the tafsir, we have every week Jummah bayans, you know, we have these programs. Why? To remind you and me. This is a spiritual food. This will strengthen our ruh that, oh, we have a purpose in life. We can't just be wasting. You know, the problem is, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the agnostic, the atheist, those people who don't believe in the existence of God, Allah mentions their statement in the Quran, مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. That we live and we die, nothing finishes at good time. We just live a life, wake up in the morning, we go to school, college, university, we go to work. You understand? If you have time, we'll have breakfast, we'll have, on the go, we'll have our green tea or, you know, cappuccino or, you know, all these different kind of things. On the way, we just have sandwich and this and that. So we're so busy. Our life has become like this. That's it. Every day is the same routine. We're like robots. And soon, like they're saying, the AI, you know, is going to take away, you know, make all the people completely finished. So this is what's happening, because we ourselves, Allah made us ashraful makhluqat, but we have lowered ourselves. Allah, after taking 4 qasam, wat-teen, wa-zaytun, wa-turi-sinin, wa-hadha al-baladil amin, laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqweem. By the teen, the fig, wa-zaytun, by zaytun, the olive, wa-turi-sinin, by the Mount Sinai, wa-hadha al-baladil amin, by the sacred city of Makkah Mukarrama, laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqweem. We have made mankind the best of form. We have been created the best. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. Allah says, we have given dignity, we have given honor, respect to the sons of Adam. We made them travel on the sea and on the land. We give them preference over many of the creation. But we have lowered ourselves so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one place says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. They are like animals, nay, they're worse than animals. Adal afalu tafzil, they're worse than animals. Even the animal kingdom feel insulted that we become in their category, go into their category. Just look at LGBTQ plus. Even the animal kingdom don't carry these things out. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. Allahu Akbar. And Shawliullah Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he beautifully in his Hujjatullahi Al-Baligha, there's a chapter called Kitabul Fitan, the chapter of fitan, the chapter of trials and tribulation. And we are going through all this. And he mentions so beautifully, like, you know, if I just start speaking about the fitan, it'll be taking so many hours. But I'll just mention two of them, what he mentioned. It's so beautiful. He said, Minha fitnatu rajuli fi nafsihi bi ay yaqsu wa qalbuhu fala yajidu ladhat al-ta'ati wala ladhat al-munajat. One of the fitna, one of the challenges and trial that we are facing, we are the living statistics. He says, fitna to rajuli fi nafsi. The fitna, the trial in oneself, personal, on a personal level. What does that mean? That bi ay yaqsu wa qalbuhu, that his heart is going to become so hard. Look at the situation now. We are looking at the situation and we watching all these clips of this carnage and brutality of Palestine. Nothing is happening. We watch it, you know, we completely, there's no emotions, there's nothing there. Okay, our hearts have become so hard. Even the Quran says, ثُمَّ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَى. You have become like stones, and Allah says, أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَى, more severe than stones, more worse than stones. Then Allah mentions three types of stones. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ وَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَحْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That there's some stones, you know, subhanAllah, water gushes forth. Some stones, the water trickles. Some stones, they fall down out of fear. You don't have any of these things. We don't have any of these three qualities in ourselves. This is what we're saying, بِأَيْ يَقْسُوَ قَلْبُ, because this is what's happened. And why? Like the Prophet ﷺ said to one Sahabi, that he couldn't cry. Like nowadays, you know, we don't have, because the hearts have become so hard, and it becomes hard because we have become so engrossed in the dunya. So he said to that Sahabi, because he couldn't cry, he was saying, and he was very worried. All the other Sahaba Ikram, they were crying, and he couldn't cry. So he complained to the Prophet ﷺ, what has happened? I couldn't cry. So the Prophet ﷺ said, جُمُودُ الْعَيْنِ مِنْ قَسْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ. Your lack of tears is because of hard-heartedness. وَقَسْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ كَسْرَةِ الزُّنُوبِ. And why is your heart so hard? مِنْ كَسْرَةِ الزُّنُوبِ, because of excessive sinning. وَكَثْرَةُ الزُّنُوبِ مِنْ نِسِيَانِ الْمَوْتِ. And why, you know, excessive sinning? Because you've forgotten death. And why have we forgotten death? وَنِسِيَانُ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ طُولِ الْأَمَلِ. The forgetting of death is because of high expectation. We have so much expectation in life. Once the Prophet ﷺ, he drew a rectangle and he said, this is the human being, this line in between, and all these things are the calamities and disasters and adversities and musibah that's going to come. And he drew a line and he said, this is the human being. And then he drew another line which comes out of the box, that his life is going to finish. The line goes out of the box. Because these, he's going to finish here age of 70, by way example, but he's got his expectation under 100 years. This is what is. And this is exactly, subhanAllah, the hadith comes in my mind. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَحْرُمُ بُنُ آدَمْ وَيَشِبُّ مِنْهُ إِثْنَانِ. Son of Adam becomes advanced in age, he becomes old, but two things remains young in him. الْحِرْسُ عَلَى الْمَالِ الْحِرْسُ عَلَى الْعُمْرِ. His greed, his lalage for wealth, and his lalage and greed for long life. Nobody wants to die. I'm 90, I'm hoping to be 91. 91, 92, I want to get to the century. I want to become the oldest person on the surface of earth. So there's no ending to it. So a person, subhanAllah, you know, a lot of people tell me, you know, what are you doing about your, you know, pension? Are you, you know, for your retirement, are you saving some money? You know, you Maulvi Sahib, you don't save money, you know. So I said, brother, itne saal Allah par tawakkul karte rahe, you know, pension ke waqt Allah ki nahi khilayenge, pilayenge. You know, look at our mentality. You know, so worried about the dunya. This is what's happened to us. So the point here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is what the situation is. And why all these things, talking about Palestine, subhanAllah, you know, we have no darad, we have no kind of, you know, sympathy, empathy for our Muslim brothers and sisters. What are we doing? We can't even raise our hands. And these things are happening because of the love of the dunya. You know, subhanAllah, talking about the prophecies, the Prophet ﷺ has prophesied about the situation what's happening in Palestine and the Middle East. Listen to this hadith. What the Prophet ﷺ said, يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمُ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْآكِلَةُ إِلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا فَقَالَ قَائِلٌ وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ قال بل انتم يومئذ كثير ولكنكم غثاء كغثاء السيل ولينزعن الله من صدور عدوكم المهابة منكم وليقذفن في قلوبكم الوهن فقال قائل وما الوهن يا رسول الله قال حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. The Prophet ﷺ spelt it out for us. Why all this happening? Why no Muslim country can talk? When Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the battle of Mu'tah, he said, just send me, I'll finish them off. Iman in me and they're going to be able to confront me in combat with me? No way. He said, okay, just give me 60. At the end, 3,000 went and the battle with 200,000 people and the defeat of them came back successful. The Iman, when they used to hear Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the battle, they used to just run away. This was the awe. That's why the hadith, Yushikul Umam, a time will come, all the different nations, Yushikul Umam and Tada'a, they will summon other nations to come together. Like the way the diners, they usher people to come. Come on, we're going to eat together. We're going to go to, you know, Wimslow Road. We're going to go to this place. We're going to go to that place. We'll go Akbar's. We'll go this. You know, we'll go come to eat together. So the Prophet is saying, Kama Tada'a. He's given a, you know, comparison, similarity there. Kama tadal akilatu ila qasati, that they call you, okay, let us sit down on this table and eat together. So they will call, all the different nations will go against the Muslims. And they will all get together. Look at what happened. All the countries got together. Who vetoes? America. And subhanAllah, no Muslim countries can talk. We can't even boycott, leave alone, you know, give the armies and fight, whatever. We're not asking, just go on, just say, look, you know, we're not happy with that, we're going to boycott, we're not going to have any kind of trading with you. That was more than enough, but you couldn't even do that. You know, I always say, people say, what can we do? Because we can do whatever we can in our capacity. You know, this carnage, this brutality, what is happening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment is going to be holding the ones responsible, Jordan, Egypt, Turkey, Saudi. Because the Quran and the Hadith and the Fiqh tells us, those people who are around, if Muslims are being killed, genocide is taking place. Without, you know, any kind of contradiction. This is what's happening in, you know, Gaza. So basically all these countries, Allah is going to ask, you know, what did he do? So this is the point that these people, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, that it is your duty to help your Muslim brother. وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَعَفِينَ مِنْ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا. They're crying, the people, they're calling out to you. You're not even helping. You are making plans. What's going to happen when Gaza finishes? How is going to, you know, how are we going to sort this out? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, this is what's happening. So the Sahaba ikram said, and min qillati yawma izin, is it because of lack of numbers? Do you know the Sahaba ikram asked that? Because all the time when the Sahaba ikram fought, they were very less in numbers. Battle of Badr, 313 ill-equipped with 1,000 well-equipped. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, subhanahu wa laqad nasarakum Allah bi badrin wa antum adilla. Allah helped you at the time of Badr. You were completely ill-equipped. Help with the angels. So the point here is, the Sahaba ikram asked, فَقَالَ قَائِلٌ وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ. Ya Rasulullah, is it because of lack of numbers, less numbers? The Prophet said, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٌ. But on that day, you'll be very great in numbers, 2 billion in numbers. The population, about 8 billion, 25%, 22 billion are Muslims. But nobody speaks out. Nobody does anything. And then the Prophet said, why is that happening? Why? What's the root? وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. But you'll be like torrent. He'll be like, you know, the foam of the tidal wave. That doesn't have no value. When the tidal wave comes, the foam comes. So you have no value of that. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. That's what he said. Then he says, what is going to happen? Why is this happening? وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمُ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah will extract the awe that these disbelievers had for you. That fear will be taken away. They will have no fear. So until 1924, subhanAllah, you know, all Islamic Caliphate was there. We had everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all the authority, the dominion, the kingdom, everything. At the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanAllah, when he was the Khalifatul Muslimin, so the emperor of the Rome emperor, he sent one of his ambassador just to meet him. And after meeting him, so he was looking for him basically, and the people, he said, where's your Khalifa? Where's his palace? Because he doesn't have no palace. You know, son, he'll be most likely, you know, sleeping under a tree. Look, nowadays we see our Muslim leaders, so many, subhanAllah, entourage and all the cars and all the security and protection and everything, Allahu Akbar. He was sleeping. So, in the kitab he mentions, عَدَلْتَ فَأَمِنْتَ فَنِمْتَ. He said, why is he sleeping? Because he created justice. He implemented justice in the Muslim world. عَدَلْتَ فَأَمِنْتَ. Now there is protection and safety for everybody. Fanimta, now he's sleeping peacefully. This was the situation. So he came back and he asked him that how did you find him? He said in two words. He said, the Khalifatul Muslimin, if you want me to just describe him in two words, La yakhda'u wa la yukhda'u. La yakhda'u wa la yukhda'u. Those who understand Arabic, so beautiful. And Arabic, my brothers, you know, learn the Arabic language. It's so beautiful, Allahu Akbar. We need to learn the Arabic anyhow, because inshallah in Jannah we'll be speaking Arabic. You know, the minute we leave this world, in our graves, Munkar Nakir is going to be asking in Arabic. So it's better to learn it now, isn't it? So basically, la yakhda'u. He doesn't deceive, and he doesn't get deceived. So la yakhda'u, he doesn't deceive. That shows his highest level of honesty and integrity. He never deceives anyone. La yukhda'u, he doesn't get deceived. He's very clever, he's very intelligent. And that was Umar radiallahu anhu. Nobody could mess about with him. And then he said, that's it. You know, we'll never be able to overpower him. So these were Khalifatul Muslimin. So what I was saying is that awe, that fear. When they used to hear Umar radiallahu anhu, they used to start trembling. Like even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the khususiyat, in the speciality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his miracle, one of them was that nusirtu birru'bi masirat ash-shahr. That he was assisted and helped, that 1 month's journey they haven't even come. And in the olden days, like we read in the fiqh kitab, 3 day journey is 48 miles. So times that by 10. So about 500 miles away, the enemy, they're trembling. They used to tremble by just listen, you know, hearing the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that robe, that awe was there. So the hadith mentions that robe, that awe will be taken away. And what is going to happen? What is going to take place of that? The robe, the fear has been extracted, has been snatched away. وَلَا يَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَهْنٌ. And wahan will be put into the hearts. So Sahaba Ikram asked, فَقَالَ قَائِلٌ وَمَا الْوَهْنُ يَا رَسُولُ. What does he mean by wahan? He said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The love of the dunya and the dislike for death. Because subhanAllah, nobody wants to die. وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And why are we disliking death? Because we are so attached to the dunya. Not because you like disliking death, you know, you don't want to die because you haven't done good deeds. It's just that we are so much engrossed in the dunya. Because the dunya is so dangerous, like the Quran says, كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَ. In Surah Qiyamah, Allah says, nay, you love the dunya. عَاجِلَ, something which comes quick, referring to the dunya. And then the Quran says, وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَ, you leave the akhirah. So you love the dunya and you leave the akhirah. The Quran didn't say wala tuhibbun al akhirah. He said wa tadharun al akhirah. So uska lazimi natija, dunya ki mohabbat ka lazimi natija ke akhirat ko chhod doge. The compulsory effect, impact, repercussion, consequences of having the love for the dunya will be you have to leave the akhirah. You can't have both. Like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, ad dunya wal akhiratu darratan. Dunya and akhirah like two co-wives. A person has two wives. In radiyat ihdahuma sakhitat al-ukhra, if one is happy, the other one will be naraz. You can't make both of them happy. It's going to be impossible. So this is the dunya and the akhirah. Bal tu'thiruna al-hayat ad-dunya wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa. My brothers and sisters, we need to study the Quran. All the answers are there. When you study the hadith, all the answers are there. So at this moment of time, what's happening in Palestine is because of our own sins, own, you know, shortcomings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear. Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas. That fasad, corruption has become apparent on the surface of earth. Bima kasabat aydin nas, because of the things that the people have committed. So it's all our, we are part of that. We can't just say, no, it's not me, it's not me. But what have I done? In this situation, today in the Sirah conference, we need to ask ourselves that how can I help and assist in this situation? Because the main important thing, as I said in the beginning, we have to express our gratitude, number one. Number two is, we need to make sure that we never become despondent. Because when we see these kind of things, we get despondent and we lose hope. We should never lose hope. In this kind of situation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's told us, the Quran is speaking to us, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't be despondent from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to go through this difficulty because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, wala nabluwannakum bi shay'in min al-khawfi wal-ju' wa naqsin min al-amwali wal-anfusi wath-thamarati bashshiris sabirin. We'll surely test you from the certain amount of fear, of poverty, of loss of wealth, loss of poverty, property and assets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So glad tidings to those people who are patient. So we're going to go through this situation, but we have to make sure that we don't become despondent. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. وَلَا تَهِنُوا, don't waver, don't be feeble, don't be weak. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't grieve. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, you will be on the highest level. You will be the triumph. You will be victorious. You will be the successful one. In kuntum mu'minin, if you are true believers. What we need to look at the situation in Palestine, not from the date 7th of October, because many of us, we just look at the situation, that one piece of jigsaw. We need to look at the full picture, full jigsaw. We started from 1948, 75 years ago. They have occupied Palestine. They are the occupiers. They are the oppressors. They are the tyrants. They have done all these kind of things. And even our Muslim brothers and sisters, because you don't understand, we don't have that knowledge, or we are misinformed, and we have just said, Aman to BBC. May Iman laya BBC par. That's what's happened to us. And we just take it on board. Yes, yeah, the Palestine, why did they do this? Why did it happen? Just keep quiet. Somebody comes into your house, you're the owner of the house, and he comes, you stand near the door, don't even move. He occupies your front room, your living room, your kitchen, bathroom, toilet, attic and cellar, basement, everything. And then you say, you try to just, push him, or you say, what are you doing? Don't you do anything. You understand? So what's happened now, you are the victim, they made you as the oppressor, and they become the victim. This is what's happened. So what we need to understand, the story, and we need to understand the narrative in a proper Islamic perspective and in the true perspective. Because the hadith says, Al-Harbu Khuda'a, battle is a deception. The Prophet said this. You understand? And all these things, you have to filter. You can't believe all this. That's why I always say, take it through the triple filter test. And the first filter, we fail in the first one. Is it true or not? Because we can't verify it. All these news outlets, they're all run by them, the Zionists and all the rest of the anti-Islam people. So how can we accept that? Do we believe in all this? So it's very important that we understand the situation and we don't become despondent. Because, if we look at Palestine situation, let me just tell you about this. That the time from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to Mi'raj from Makkah Mukarrama. He traveled by Burak to Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah mentions, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdi layla min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-Aqsa. So 10th year of prophethood, he went to the beyond the seven heavens, met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has significance. That's the only place on the surface of earth is unique, mashallah, merit and virtue, is that no other place, not even Kaaba, that all the entire prophets and messengers, they congregated, converged, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led them in salah. That's the amazing thing. So then in 638 AD, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala conquered it. And it was with the Muslims throughout. Only in 1099 AD till 1187 AD, 88 years, the Christian Crusaders, they had it. 88 years. And then again, 1924, the British General Allenby, He came and took over. 1948, the Israeli people, they dropped 65 bombs and they took over. Then 1967, you know, Masjid Aqsa was occupied by the Israelis. So only that amount, out of the 1400 years, maximum 200 years have been in their hands, 1200 years we had it. So the thing is, we have to keep in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These days Allah rotates. Allah is testing our iman. Because it's not easy. Like, you know, when we say, like the Quran says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَيُّتْرَكُوا يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do you think that you just said, آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ? You will not be tested. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah wants to see who is the truthful and who is the liars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, it's a very big lesson. So these days, تُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You know, no one stays superpowers throughout. The Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, they were the superpowers at the time. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he destroyed both of them. إِذَا هَلَكَ كِسْرَ فَلَا كِسْرَ بَعْدَهُ وَإِذَا هَلَكَ قَيْسَرَ فَلَا قَيْسَرَ بَعْدَهُ. He destroyed both of them. Muslims were ruling for all these years. So this is going to always happen. Russia, Soviet Union, they were called. A country like Afghanistan completely annihilated them. So these superpowers, they're going to come to an end. Like Shaykhul Islam Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatum said, America ke paas khudai nahi hai, Allah ke paas khudai hai. We need to understand this. So we have to be strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us everything. You know, we need to study the Quran. Like the Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala said, fihi ilmul awwaleen wal akhirin walakin taqasarat anhu afhamun nas. In this we have the knowledge of everything from the beginning till the end, but our mind doesn't fathom, comprehend, cannot understand it. Everything's there. So Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are things that we rotate. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْدَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. He makes these things happen. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. He wants to get a category of people to the status of shaheed. Because that's so big status. The people of Palestine, they are the lucky and the blessed people. Everybody who becomes a shaheed, immediately before the drop of blood falls onto the ground, they're in Jannah. They're flying in Jannah. All the children who are dying, they're straight away going meeting Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the seven heavens. They are the lucky ones. Allah's going to ask you and me, what did you do? You couldn't even lift your hands, raise your hands and pray for them? This is a lesson for you and me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that don't worry about this. إِن تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you have been pained, remember they have been pained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this after the battle of Uhud took place, because in the battle of Uhud, Sahaba Ikram 70 became shaheed. So they were very grieved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is consoling them. He's telling them, don't worry about it. Because in the battle of Badr, you killed 70 of their leaders and you took 70 as captives. So, you know, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Then the biggest thing Allah says is just amazing. That's the cherry on the cake. He says, وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. That's the amazing thing. You know, that makes me so happy. What does it mean? وَتَرْجُونَ. Oh my beloved servants, the believers, you have hope in Allah that they don't have no hope in Allah. They don't have no akhirat. They don't have no, you know, life after death. For us, this world is nothing. Because they understand when this Sahabi, subhanallah, this disbeliever, before he became Muslim at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I killed the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the arrow fell on him, he said, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. I am successful by the Lord of the Kaaba. So he says, because I didn't accept Islam then, I thought, I just killed him, and he says he's successful. It doesn't make sense. But when I embraced Islam, then I understood Islam, then I said, yeah, definitely he was the successful one. Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. You know, end of the day, you have hope in me, so whatever happens, you know, it's a win-win situation for a believer. That's what you have to keep in mind. All these people who are dying in Palestine, is a win-win situation for them. So for us, we have to do whatever we can. So the first thing is, we cannot be despondent. That's number one. You know, subhanAllah, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he loses Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, 8 years separation. In that duration, وَبْيَدَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ, his eyes, he loses his eyesight. He's visually impaired. And then what happens is, subhanallah, he's, you know, they take Binyamin and he can't come as well. So their brother, one of the brother Yehuda, he says, Allah, I cannot face my father. I'm not going. He stays as well. So the rest of the brothers come because this is the situation. Just imagine, and Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, his narratives gives us a big lesson. What does he say? Ya bani yadhhab fatahassasu, ya bani yadhhabu fatahassasu min Yusufa wa akhihi wa la tayasu min rawhillah. You know, it's very easy to say something when you are full stomach and you say, you know, be patient and this and that. You know, son, go through the hunger and this and that. No, when you are on the receiving end, you got no duvet and you're giving somebody else the duvet, that's the real test. That's the real patience. He's on the receiving end, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. What is he saying to his sons? Ya baniya idhabu, go and search for Yusuf. 8 years have passed. So basically 8 years have passed. And he's saying, fatahassasu min Yusuf, go and search for Yusuf, akhi, and his brother Binyamin. And wala tayasu min rawhil, never ever be despondent from the mercy of Allah. It's a big lesson for you and me. So what's happening in Palestine, what's happening across the globe, do you understand? There's no need for us to be despondent. Because end result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. That you will be the successful one, you will be the ones who will be victorious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised His Prophet, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. He has sent His Messenger with guidance, وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, with the true deen. لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ, so it becomes dominant over all the religion. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, whether the disbelievers, the polytheists dislike it. So Allah has made Islam dominant in three different ways. Listen to this. It's very important that we understand how Islam is dominant. Number one, in terms of evidence, in terms of dogmas, in terms of proof and ideology, everything in terms of the aqeedah, belief and everything, in terms of that, Islam is the only true religion. And قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ رُشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ, after the Prophet ﷺ came and he completed, you know, the faith, and Allah subhanahu revealed the verse, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, today the religion has been completed. So in terms of evidence, proof, Islam is dominant over all religion. And that happened at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Then it became dominant at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in terms of rulership, dominion, kingdom, power, authority, at the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then at the end, when Imam Mahdi and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they're going to be coming, that time in terms of population, Islam will become dominant. Allah's promised that. So two domination we've already seen. The third one is coming, when Imam Mahdi and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is going to come, descend. So each and every one of us, so what we need to do is, as I said, we cannot be despondent. And at the same time, you know, the biggest problem we have is we have to appreciate, like as I said in the beginning, the shukr, that Allah has given us the right religion, the true religion. We cannot have this inferiority complex because we have this kind of thing, no. Because, you know, gulami, that all the other, we think to ourselves that what these people have, the values they have. We have the Islamic values. Like many a time we'll say, acha, you know, what time are you coming? I'll meet you at 5 o'clock. Is it Asian time or English time? I say, brother, what Asian time and English time? Islamic time. Islam teachers make sure that you are punctual. So why? Why do you have to go for something else? When we go like, Hakim ul Ummah Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thani rahimahullah ta'ala says, Jab aapke paas taazi roti hai, baasi roti ki kya zaruwat? We got the fresh bread. Why go for the rotten bread? Once, he was invited by this Hindu school, the head teacher and the staff, they expressed their happiness and they showed him around. The kunduk and akhlaq and karat was very good. When Hazrat was coming out, he praised them, complimented them. He said, I was very happy with your conduct and character. You have character and conduct like a believer, like a Muslim. What was he teaching you and me? He was telling you and me that whatever they've got, they've, you know, it's not their thing from their own house, it's from us. They borrowed it from us. That's what we need to keep in mind. In everything that we do, Islam has taught us the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect. I travel and I see when we go to these Western countries, we see when we go into the bathroom, my student will say, "Ustaji, take a water bottle." Because they don't have water bottle there. Even after 1400 years, you know, they still don't know how to clean themselves after defecating, after the call of nature. Islam has taught Islam, subhanAllah, every aspect, we got the best way of life. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our role model, and whatever he did is the best. Whatever, the way he ate, the way he slept, the way, now these people are all this, you know, when scientific evidence comes forward to back something up, then we start, wow, amazing. But why are we waiting for the scientific evidence? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done it without any questioning, we should immediately act upon it. Like, you know, some time ago, this non-Muslim scholar, non-Muslim doctor, he said, you know, a person should fast 2 days a week. So it detoxifies the body, cleanses the body. And he was saying all the benefits of it. At the end, he just said, this is what the Prophet of Islam said to his followers. Allahu Akbar. And he told us to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. But we don't do that. But when somebody else told us, intermittent fasting will do it. For our diet, for our fitness, whatever reason. So all these things, the midday siesta nap, you know, some people say, you should have your, you know, the way our body is, you know, tuned, we have to have two sleep, one a long one, one a short one. So the scientists, they found all this. The Prophet ﷺ told us this 1400 years ago. So what I'm trying to say is, don't have this inferiority complex. You know, we have Islam in every aspect. You know, all these, like these people, there was a time, subhanAllah, you know, just now and even now, you know, they can't differentiate between a male and a female. They have a problem in gender. And we start to think, yeah, we need to also accommodate all this and that. Allah, as a believer, we need to explain to these people, you can do whatever. You know, all these people, because it's democracy, freedom, liberty. Brother, you know, in humanity, you know, gentleman, lady, whatever you do, that's yours. But as a Muslim, this is completely prohibited for us. Make it very clear. I say to my students, you know, son, you know, Allah created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know, son, it was Adam and Eve. So we need to make these things clear. Like a young boy came and goes, Ustadji, you know, I think, you know, I'm supposed to be a girl. A boy came and he said, I said, no, youngster, listen to me. Allah created your boy. Allah doesn't make no mistake. You can make mistake in your head. Your teacher might make a mistake. Your community might make a mistake. But Allah doesn't make mistake. Because yes, that's right, Ustadji. I'm a boy. Look at the way they completely, you know, indoctrinating, brainwashing our children. No, you can, you know, what do you, you know, how are you feeling today? Are you feeling like a boy or a girl? Today I'm feeling like a girl. Okay, then we'll dress you like a girl. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We need to keep an eye what's happening to our children in school. You come back, many children, 7-year-old child comes, oh, today they were telling us you can have two mums and two dads. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We have to be very careful. You know, this is the fitna, like the Prophet ﷺ said, Satakunu fitna, samma bakma amya. Fitna, trials and tribulations come, it will make you deaf, dumb and blind. Yusbihu rajulu mu'mina wa yumsi kafira. In the morning he was a believer, in the evening he'll be disbeliever. Wa yumsi mu'mina wa yusbihu kafira. Even if he was a believer, in the morning he'll be disbeliever. Why? Yabi'u deenahu bi'aradhin min ad-dunya. He'll sell his deen for the paltry, petty things of the dunya. This is what's happening. So my brothers and sisters listening, we have the seerah. We have the life of the Prophet ﷺ as our beacon, our light. You know, we need to make sure that we follow that light. Only then we will be guided. Or else we will be stuck somewhere and then subhanAllah, this fitna will come and it will drag us. Like the hadith said, Man ashrafa laha istashrafat lahu. If you just peep towards it, it will grab you, it will seize you and it will not let you go. This is what's happening. A 15-year-old boy comes, he goes, you know, the parents crying. They said, you know, he doesn't even believe in a God now. He doesn't even believe in a, you know, that there's a creator. So I said, why don't you believe? Who created you? I just came like the Big Bang. I came like this. So I said, you know, then he goes to me, why are you so worried for? If there is a God, I'll deal with him. Don't worry. Look at the audacity of that youngster. We are facing these kind of things. So it's not going to get better. You know, I'll finish off with this hadith that has come into my mind. You know, subhanAllah. What's happened here is, the Zubair ibn Adi in Kitab al-Fitan, Imam Bukhari rahmah mentioned this hadith, and this is very relevant and is very applicable at this moment of time. Says, they said, Atayna Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we came to Anas ibn Malik, who was a prominent companion who stayed in the company of the Prophet for 10 years. He said, فَشَكَوْنَا إِلَيْهِ مَا نَلْقَى مِنَ الْحَجَّ. We complained to him regarding Hajjaj bin Yusuf Saqafi, who was the butcher, who was a notorious sort of ruler, governor of Iraq at that time. And he, as a conservative figure, 120,000 Sahaba and Tabi'in he killed. So they were so, angry and at the same time terrified, frightened. What's happening? The time of the Prophet ﷺ hasn't moved so much, and this is what's happening. And there's still some companions alive, like Anas ibn Malik. And what did he say? Listen to this. He said, "Isbiru hatta talqaw rabbukum." Be patient, O my companions, until you meet your Lord. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ أَشَرُّ مِنْهُ. The time that is going to come afterward is not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse every day. And سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ نَبِيِّكُمْ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I've heard this directly from my beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is what's going to happen. It's not going to get better. So the lesson, my brothers and sisters, we get is we need to start now. We need to make sure that the situation, we need to practice the sunnah. We need to implement the life, the way shown by our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in everyday matter. From morning till dusk, from birth till death. Find out what the Prophet did in that particular situation, occasion, in that particular time, then we do it according to that. That's the first thing. Regarding the situation of Palestine, we need to not become despondent, not become frustrated. Obviously, this is a natural, sort of thing that we're going to have, but we have to be patient and we need to do as much as we can. For example, we need to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ad-du'a wa silahul mu'min. Dua is a weapon of a believer, number one. Number two, whatever we can do, write to the MPs, write to the councillors, go to the marches, write to the news outlets, whatever we can. A lot of people say there's no use of doing all this. Do something. Something is better than nothing. A lot of our people, no, there's no use. What happened? We marched for Iraq, we did this, we did that. No, Allah's going to see. The thing is, Allah looks at the effort, not the result. Remember this, my brothers. Whatever effort you do, Allah looks at that result, even if it's zero. The Prophet ﷺ went to Mi'raj. He saw prophets who had so many followers. He saw some who had two, three, some one. Some of the prophets, وَنَبِيٌ لَيْسَ مَعَهُ رَحْتٌ. There was one prophet, he didn't have one single follower. But his effort that he made, his status is more higher than the entire Muslim community put together. So remember this, and that should, give us some kind of, solace and happiness, that the effort that we make, Allah is going to reward us for the effort. So keep on making the effort, and whatever we can do in our capacity, we should make sure that we do that. And, always, and main important thing here is explaining the people about the reality of the situation. Because the sad thing is, as I said in the beginning, among the BBC, we've just believed in the BBC, whatever they say. Look at the reality. Because if we don't be careful, the oppressor becomes the oppressed, and oppressed becomes the oppressor. The victim becomes the oppressor, and oppressor becomes the victim. And this is exactly what's happening in Palestine. So we have to narrate and give the true narrative, true story, true incidents of what's happening in the Middle East. Then inshallah ta'ala, at least this is, passing on the right information to our brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم آمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا وأكرمنا ولا تهنا وأعطنا ولا تحرمنا وآثرنا ولا تؤثر علينا وأرضنا وارض عنا يا رب العالمين اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا وجعله الوارث منا وجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا اللهم إنا نسألك بأسماعنا أسمائك الحسنى وصفاتك العلى أن تنصر إخواننا المظلومين المستضعفين في فلسطين وأهل غزة خاصة يا رب العالمين وأن ترفع عنهم الظلم والقتل والغارة وأن تعيد لهم أرضهم المقدسة وأن تجعل المسجد الأقصى حرا آمنا شامخا للمسلمين إلى يوم القيامة اللهم يا منزل الكتاب ويا مجري السحاب ويا سريع الحساب ويا حازم الأحزاب احزم أعداءك أعداء الدين وزلزلهم وزعزعهم يا رب العالمين اللهم تقبل شهداء فلسطين اللهم اشف مرضاهم اللهم سدد رميهم اللهم داوي جرحاهم اللهم كن لهم عونا ورفيقا اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا ومؤيدا وظهيرا ولا تكن عليهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا الله سبحانه وتعالى accept this gathering الله سبحانه وتعالى descend your tranquility your peace and serenity and mercy and blessing on this gathering Allah forgive our sins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the sins that we committed the intentional and the unintentional the sins that we committed due to the shaitan due to our evil nafs the sins that we committed which are major and minor Allah forgive all of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us life upon iman give us death upon iman and raise us with our beloved prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our muslim brothers and sisters of palestine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend your peace and tranquility on the brothers and sisters of palestine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the martyrdom of the Palestine brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be obedient to you and follow the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa an'im wa barik ala habibina wa sayyidina wa qudwatina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyyati wa liman tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
JazakAllah khairan to Mufti Saab for those beneficial words of advice. Inshallah, Adhan will take place now for Isha Salah, and then Isha Salah will be performed. After Isha Salah, inshallah, food has been prepared for everyone, all the attendees, brothers downstairs and sisters upstairs as well. Please make sure everyone consumes the food, partakes from the food, inshallah, and then everyone's free to go. JazakAllah khairan.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة Okay.